Really? A worldwide synod? Yes, this is the way God works. As Pope Francis says, he's a God of surprises.
The Synod on Synodality is pretty groovy. And Bishop Daniel's video is better than a movie. Her hair's on fire, but tonight Sister Natalie from Planet Synodality is gonna listen like it's 1999. Take out your Crayolas, class. Pope Francis is reimagining Christianity to make us all feel good. And darn it, we're worth it.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. I am Michael Matt, and this is the Remnant Underground. Tonight we're going to talk synodality, but first I have to do a promotion, right? We got a hot issue right off the press of the Remnant. We're going to go for it. I'm always told we need to promote more. This is the Remnant newspaper. It just came off the press, a good issue. This is becoming a very interesting thing, because obviously if the lights go out and everything gets Christophobic and forbidden on the internet, this is the Remnant's backup plan, just so you know, those of you who don't realize, this Remnant newspaper is 50-something years old. And I've noticed that people are kind of into the retro thing about newsprint again. It's really fun. People are coming back. They like not being monitored, and they like not having pop-ups and eye fatigue and everything else. This is something that really, it's a labor of love, but I really encourage you to subscribe to that if you're not already, and guarantee, therefore, that you can stay in touch. We can all stay in touch no matter what happens in a very uncertain future. So we're going to talk Synod on Synodality that Pope Francis has set up. Huge, ambitious plan. I can't believe. I mean, Francis is not getting any younger. He's now being wheeled around the Vatican in a wheelchair, but he seems utterly confident that he can accomplish this reset of the Catholic Church, of Christianity, in 2 years. So there are going to be 2 years now of synods at the local level, the diocesan level, where the bishops now are promising to, of course we've gone over this in the past, promising to listen to the people. So now, when this Synod on Synodality is to conclude in 2023, Francis, and here's where it's important. This is the entire game plan. What he wants to do, he wants to claim that his sweeping and revolutionary changes, permanently changing the church, you know, this is what he promised to do, that all of these changes are going to be the result of 2 years of listening to the people, to the sheep. He's only doing what the people have asked him to do. You see how perverse this is? This is what's going on. So it's just like, we know what this is. This is like Joe Biden running out there and saying that he's doing what the American people are telling him to do. He wants to do what the American people want. Or some of the American people. He knows what the American people want. No, he doesn't. He's destroying our country, isn't he? Well, Francis is doing the same thing. He wants to go out and say he's obviously destroying the church. He wants to say he's doing it for the people, for the children. That's what this whole and entire synod is all about. And we'll start with a little example of one of the prime movers now of this Synod on Synodality. A woman by the name of Sister Natalie Becquart, a French nun, although I don't think she goes by sister too much anymore.
No.
As most. Yeah, she doesn't dress like one. She's just a feminist. And I guess we could call her Sister Nat just for convenience sake. But she now is the undersecretary of the Synod of Bishops in the Vatican. Big position, big deal. A position that was always held by a bishop, by the way, until now, because Francis has appointed a woman, which is part of the whole process of redefining the priesthood, redefining the ministry, if you will.
Sister Natalie Becquart is the first woman to be appointed to the position of Undersecretary of the General Secretariat of the Synod of Bishops. This also makes her the first woman allowed to vote at a synod.
I want to start this new role with humility, listening.
Here she is addressing, just last month, the New Ways Ministry, which is a radical Catholic LGBTQ+ activist group that rejects Catholic teaching on several subjects, including, of course, homosexuality, same-sex marriage. That's what they're all about. And so that you don't think I'm just being mean to this group, I will remind you that in 2010, Cardinal Francis George, who at the time was president of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, warned the church that New Ways Ministry urges Catholics to support electoral initiatives to establish same-sex marriage. That's what they're all about. But Cardinal George also at the time made it very clear that New Ways Ministry has no approval or recognition from the Catholic Church. We'll put that up on the screen so you can understand what it means then when Francis's appointment to the Synod on Synodality, this two-year project, what it means when she addresses New Ways ministry.
People have been saying that as members of the LGBTQ community, they have often not felt respected by church officials. So the question that they ask is, how can we trust that our perspective will be heard this time by church officials as part of the synod?
Yes, thank you. We can recognize that. And as I said, you know, it's synodality is a way, you know, to face the reality, to recognize the reality, the wants, and it's a call to be very humble. And you know, I can't say in advance what will happen, but what I can share with you is that I have seen that through the Synod on Young People, you know, and within the Synod Hall, most of the Synodal Fathers who were there were very humble to say, we have failed.
And by the way, this exciting video with the fun green screen has garnered a whopping 700 views on YouTube so far. In other words, nobody cares. The Synod on Synodality is all about creating the impression that the Catholic world and all of us, we really care about this stuff. We're demanding the changes. But actually, the changes are what Francis wants. It's like true dictator behavior. He's going to force these changes on the church. He's going to radically transform and change the church so that it can never be changed back. And remember, Francis did the exact same thing when it came to Traditionis Custodis, which is canceling the Latin Mass. Because why? Well, according to Francis, it's what the bishops want me to do. I took a poll of the bishops, and they all said that they want to get rid of the Latin Mass. Well, as you'll, those of you who read The Remnant, as you'll remember, that's utterly not true. Vatican journalist Diane Montagna reported in the pages of The Remnant, put the link right down below, that a lot of the bishops were like, wait a minute, we never said that. So why is Francis claiming it? Well, this is how they work. This is how they work. This is what the synodal church is all about. We're going to see in a minute. But tonight we're going to try to find out what they're actually talking about, because they're not talking about reality anymore. And I got to warn you, this leaked video from our Canadian friend on synodality in Canada has got an extremely high cringe factor. But I'm not trying to make fun of the people. I'm trying to show you the absurdity of this. So here now is one Bishop Anthony Daniels of the Diocese of Grand Falls, Windsor, Canada, breaking down synodality for us.
Now, the synod process originated with the Second Vatican Council. The bishops of the Second Vatican Council enjoyed so much being together, being free to say everything that they needed to say, talk freely and openly, and know that there was a Holy Father who was really listening. And Pope Francis says that's what we have to be doing now.
Now, a couple of Sundays ago, Bishop Daniels substituted this little video here for the Sunday homily in every church in his diocese. So this is as serious as a heart attack. Every child, every family, everybody had to listen to the video that you're about to see. Put a link to the whole thing so you can watch it and enjoy. The bishop means business, in other words. Now, I know he doesn't look like a bishop, but near as I can figure, that's because, well, Bishop Daniels is listening, and these evidently are his listening togs.
It's not enough to bring the bishops together and listen to what they have to say. We have to find a way to bring all the people. We have to listen, because the church needs to learn and understand what's going on. How can we minister to a world that we don't understand and we're not listening to?
So let me get this straight, Your Excellency, in all due respect. Even over the past 50 years, even since Vatican II, you can walk into any church in the world on a Saturday afternoon and what do you see? A priest in one of those stuffy little confessionals. hearing confessions. He's been doing it for 50 years. And then he's doing it throughout the week. He's doing it before Mass on Saturday in the confessional. So I got a question for you, Bishop Daniels. What's he doing in there if he's not listening? What is he doing in there? How much more listening can you possibly even imagine that a priest would come and listen to individual penitents 4 or 5 times a week for 50 years? He's not listening, according to you, Bishop Daniels? No listening has been going on until Francis arrived? And then your brother bishops, Bishop Daniels, same deal? For 50 years, your brother bishops couldn't be bothered even to listen to their own flocks? What are you saying here, man? I'm not a big fan of Vatican II, the new bishops, the new mass. I gotta say, I wouldn't say that about all the bishops in the whole church, that for 50 years they were totally useless, so useless that they wouldn't even listen to people, their own flocks. What else, Bishop Daniels, can we conclude from your statements here other than that Vatican II was, as we traditional Catholics say it was, a complete failure?
The hope is that people will find this in a safe environment where they can say what they really believe, what they really feel and think. And our hope is that people will have a sense that we are listening. I could never be more proud than if people who attended these meetings went away saying, I think they really heard me. I think they really listened.
Now, not to nitpick here, but what were you guys doing all this time exactly? What if you could tell us? I know you're saying you weren't listening, so what were you doing? I know you were hiding priests, you know, who were diddling the kids. I get that, but that's not a full-time job. So you weren't listening. You weren't doing much of anything. What were you doing? Why were we writing checks? Why were people tithing for 50 years for a church that was this useless? And maybe more to the point, Your Excellency, in all due respect, remember, you started this. You're the one that put this video out. We got to respond to it. Question for you. Why would anyone trust you after all this? When you've been dinking around like this, according to what you just said, y'all have been dinking around, clueless about your own job, for 50 years. Why are we gonna trust you? Even if y'all figure out how to listen, what are a worthless bunch of men, the ones you just described, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna be able to possibly do for anyone in distress when after 50 years, you proved to be so useless? Kind of a lot to ask us to give you a second chance, isn't it, Excellency? And you just didn't care about your own people for a half a century? Or maybe, Excellency, if we're going to start being honest here, maybe this listening bit that you keep talking about, maybe it's code for something else.
The synodal way, and I hate using that word because it's such a strange word, but the synodal way is the Christian way. It's the way that Christians should come together to deal with important issues. It's knowing that what you say is valued. And it's knowing that what you say comes from a place deeper than you, in you, than just your opinion. You're hearing God in this.
Ah, I see. The voice of God. The voice of God is telling us that we need to tell the bishops to change the church. I see. That could be. But then again, the Boston Strangler thought that his little voices were from God too, right? A lot of serial killers went around hacking up prostitutes in the big towns, you know, because they thought God wanted them to do it. So that's a little shaky, isn't it? You want us to just interpret our own crazy little inner problems with the voice of God? And if that's it, if God's just speaking directly through us, what is the point of the church, right? Now, I got to tell you, Your Excellency, I'm not really buying this. You seem pretty judgmental, guy. I mean, really, you seem pretty judgmental. Almost as if you're trying to vilify every priest and every bishop who came before you. Which naturally brings up the question, how far back do you want to go, Your Excellency? Does your condemnation of the church of the past, does that apply to, I don't know, maybe St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Augustine, you know, the doctors of the church who said what? Who said we're supposed to shut up and listen to God's word, to the Bible, to the infallible teachings of the church, right? To natural law. Shut up and listen. Guide your life by what God has already revealed to us, right? That's what I thought it was all about. Not the musings and rantings of dysfunctional people who want to be listened to because they just don't think it's fair. And no one's listening to me. That's an obstreperous little brat who needs correction, not more listening. Any father worth his salt can tell you that. Keep the commandments if you want to earn heaven. Now, that's a paraphrase of scripture, Your Excellency. But do you remember who said it? Jesus. Was Jesus then also a bad listener, Your Excellency? Because Jesus was also the one who said, unless a man be born again of water and the Spirit, you remember? He cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, right? You got to do things in order to be saved. Jesus said, go therefore and convert all nations, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Commanded you. Nothing about listening.
So what I'm hearing now is that there is that kind of evolution that says, we really want to hear what you think and what you feel and what you've kept cloistered for all of that time because it was never appropriate to say it. You weren't encouraged to do any analysis, to do any thinking, to express feelings, to show emotion. It was very much within that other box that our initial formations happened. And so I see this as freeing.
Okay, I hear you. I hear you, Karen, and I feel your pain. You want the catechism to evolve. That's a condemned heresy, by the way, the evolution of doctrine. But let's leave that aside. I understand that. But which parts of the catechism should be knocked out? Which part of Scripture, which books of the Bible would you like to have taken out to make you feel even freer?
I can feel free now to say exactly what I think and feel. Never felt like that before. It was always guarded.
Oh, my goodness. Get some sleep, Susan. Seriously, you don't look well. So why don't we turn to Bob over here and see if Bob can get to the point.
One of the challenges, I think, that we have, and that's why we have this committee and why we're meeting here, is getting over that hump that people have grown up in a church that may not have been as open to listening. And I think there's a whole lot of people, myself included, I guess, that have been for years going to church, being spoken to, but not necessarily listened to. And here's a chance to actually be listened to and give your opinion on how you think the church can change to accommodate a whole lot of things.
Whew. I got to tell you, Bobby, I'm already done listening. What are you talking about? I mean, this is torture. And yet all the bishops in the world now, don't forget, don't lose the context. This is what the diocesan meetings are going to look like. All the bishops of the world are to spend the next 2 years doing this, what amounts to theological finger painting, painting with a straight face. That's the game plan. Sheila, can you get to the point?
The church is the people, and we need to gear it for the people. Right? And this generation is different from the last. We have the world is changing. We need to accommodate, right? How do we get people to come in and feel like, I love this place. I feel warm and welcome here. I want to be here. There's people here that I know and love. There are things to share with these people. I will listen to them. I will talk to them. I can share my feelings here. I can go home feeling like, wow, that was fantastic.
That is fantastic, Sheila. And I want you to know that you're special. You are special to me, Sheila. and I will sit in your pew anytime. But I still don't understand what you're talking about. What are you looking for specifically? And if you can't, I guess we'll go to Don. Don, can you get us past the Stuart Smalley talking points, please?
What we got to do, we got to keep up with the times. Not only have we got to keep up with them, if we want to revive the church and pump some new oxygen back into it, we've got to get ahead of the times.
Okay, good. By the way, Don, do you play pickleball? Because maybe that would be something that would meet your needs, whatever they are. I'm still not sure. I'm sorry, friends. This is just keeps going on and on. It's like a really, really bad Saturday Night Live skit from years ago.
I deserve good things. I am entitled to my share of happiness. I refuse to beat myself up.
And then there's Mary. Mary, Mary, quite contrary, who's got a few beefs, but once again, pretty short on specifics.
But I'm hopeful that in my lifetime, because I'm hoping to live long life, that there will be some meaningful change. And it's unfortunate that we still have, and I will call them factions within the church that want to hold back the change that needs to happen, particularly for our young people. Mm-hmm. Our young people, in many ways, are better than we will ever be because they are not judgmental.
Thank you, Mary. You are a button. And I can tell you know what? You are a gal with a finger on the pulse of what the kids want. I can see that right away. That's very good. By the way, have you ever heard of the Chart Pilgrimage?
La manière la plus accomplie, je trouve, de pouvoir rendre gloire à Dieu.
Je trouve c'est trop beau. Un supplément d'âme.
La beauté de la liturgie.
Le latin, on dirait, parle à notre âme.
Joyeux.
Spirituel.
Très ressourçant.
C'est vraiment des journées de chrétienté extraordinaires.
Look at all those thousands of young people going to the Latin Mass and totally connected to the church. How do you suppose that happened? Kind of makes me think, doesn't it, Mary?
I don't really see what our church offers young people either. I really don't. We do not offer them a home that can accept their differences if they have differences. It's unfortunate that our church is a church of no. No, you can't do this. No, you can't do that. No, no, no. And that's a perception that has really stuck, unfortunately, that it is a church of no. No, 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 no. When it should be a more welcoming space.
Oh, no. Boy, absolutely. That's a great point. I mean, anytime you can work the word space into a meeting like this, that's a win. That's gold. Now, God says, thou shalt not. I think he says that something like 10 times in the Decalogue. Well, not the Ten Commandments, Mary. Yeah, the Ten Commandments. 10 times, thou shalt not. But what does God know about creating welcoming spaces, right? What would he know? For that, for some expertise on welcoming spaces, we need to listen to Mary and Joanne.
So until Rome, the larger Rome, says that, you know what? Jesus is love. Love is love. And we love you. All of you, as you are, where you are, how you are, until Rome says that, I don't know that we can bring people in.
Jesus is love, and love is love. Wow, Joanne. Thank you so much for sharing that, because that I get. I understand that. Now, finally, towards the end of this slog, which seems like it was ordered by a judge, some sort of community service to me, by the end of our little video, a guy named Mike finally gets to the point.
Probably majority of religions, the same-sex marriage is very much a debatable topic, but it's the way that we have learned to embrace everybody. They're no different. I mean, it's not the way...
This stands out to me a whole lot, this inclusive picture.
Yep. I'm sorry, Jessica? Jessica, did you have something to say, sweetheart? What was that? Oh, yeah, you like the picture, do you? It is nice. It's a nice picture. I think it was done by, I think it was done in Crayola, actually.
I'm a special ed teacher, so yeah. this is huge. So, you know, if we're going to be inclusive of all them same-sex marriages.
Right. You know,
it's fun. It's nice. But Mike, you were saying something. Go ahead. Continue.
You know, it's not our relationship, but we have friends. We have family. I mean, people who are very close. There's no different. You know, we would just hope that the religion can see that and value that as well. Right.
So there you have it, friends. After all this crazy, after all the cray cray, we finally get down to what this is all about. It's all about sodomy. Yes, it is. The church needs to listen up and change her teachings on one of the sins that cries to heaven for vengeance, and then all will be well, you see. This is what synodality is all about. The last thing, the last line in the sand that separates the Catholic Church from nearly every other organization in the world. If you want to be a globalist player, you have to remove the stigma attached to homosexual acts. And that, dear friends, is what the Synod on Synodality is going to do. Don't forget, this video was shown to all the little children last Sunday at every Mass. They're serious. In other words, the 2-year propaganda campaign to change the Church's teaching on homosexuality is in full swing. And this, friends, what was just said about the need to change the Church's teaching on same-sex marriage, this is going to form the future of the Church, according to Bishop Daniels.
I hope you enjoyed the video that you have just seen. More importantly, I hope the video acts as an invitation to each one of you to participate in our diocesan journey towards Synod of 2023. I'm very grateful to all those who have helped make this video and all those who have been a part of sharing their concerns, their hopes, and their dreams for our Church of the future.
It's just so weird. But you, of course, Your Excellency, you're not going to be listening to us, right? I mean, you claim that you want to listen to everybody, but not everybody. Not the Latin Mass communities that are booming all throughout the world right now, for instance. You have no intention of listening to us, do you, Excellency? So this is kind of one giant fib, a one-sided lie to push an agenda, isn't it? You know, we, traditional Catholics, we are where the listening stops. Because you know why? Because we already have the answer to the problem. The answer is to go back to the Catholic faith. Go back to the future, which is tradition. The thing Francis is trying to destroy, by the way. We already listen to our priests. We don't ask them to listen to us, because we don't need that. We want our priests to lead our families in the pursuit of holiness. We want them to be trained in the fundamentals of the Catholic religion so that they can help form our children to become holy, to become saints. We do not want the priests asking our little children with their skulls full of mush, as Rush Limbaugh used to say, what they think we should do to make the church more relevant. Doctrine, dogma, the Mass, God, the Bible, make the church plenty relevant, Your Excellencies, Your Holiness. How about we get back to that? We, traditional Catholics, actually listen to our priests formed in the faith, because it's their job to teach, govern, and sanctify our souls. Not listen to us. Not listen to us. Yeah, we can complain if we want. We can go to confession. We can have conversations like we always have. But their job is to teach, govern, and sanctify our souls. They are traditional Catholic priests. And there are armies of them all over the world. They sound a lot like this.
So through the prayers and the rituals and the gestures of the traditional Mass, there are at least 40 references to the Blessed Trinity in every Old Mass, and 25 to the Incarnation, and over 70 signs of the cross. So this is multiple references every minute to the three most important doctrines there are. And they're important because the Trinity, it is from the teaching of the Trinity that we understand what a person is. It's from the Incarnation that we have the beginning of understanding of human dignity. And it's from the teaching of the cross that we know no matter what sin we fall into, God has the strength, who is redemption, to lift us out of that.
Guess what happens when you actually listen to the word of God, preached by a holy priest like that, who cares about souls? This is what happens. That's right, Sheila, Joanne, Karen, Bishop Daniels, that's how my church looks every Sunday. Well, that was just one of the masses. There are three of them every Sunday morning, and every day too, daily masses. You see all those kids at the Latin Mass? You see how happy everyone is? You see how loving the community is? You see how we all drive hours to get to that Mass? To get back to the future, to get back to tradition, to get away from whatever it is that you all are peddling. This is just one of the many Latin Mass parishes that Francis is trying to shut down worldwide. Because, well, that's the synodal way. Get rid of truth, get rid of tradition, get rid of the Mass of history. So listen up, friends. Listen up, Bishop Daniels. You say you want to listen? How about you listen to this? Stay away from our children, stay away from our church, and to hell with your synodality. No, seriously, I mean it, Your Excellency. To hell with synodality. We want no part of it.